The interior flashed once, then an instant later blazed white, blindingly, unbearably. His eyes closed instinctively, and a burning yellow light came through his eyelids. His helmet speakers made a sudden, piercing, inhuman noise like a machine screaming, then cut out altogether. The light faded slowly. He opened his eyes. The shuttle interior was still brightly lit, but it was smouldering now too. In the turbulent air whirling in from the open rear doors, wisps of smoke were tugged from scorched seats, singed straps and webbing, and the crisped black skin on Lenny Pobre's exposed face. Shadows seemed to be burned onto the bulkhead in front. Hawser's fingers, one by one, came to the edge of the ramp. My God, he thought, looking at the scorch marks and the smoke. That maniac had a nuke after all. Then the shockwave hit. It slapped him forward, over the ramp and into the shuttle, just before it hit the machine itself, throwing it bucking and bouncing about the sky like a tiny bird caught in a storm. Hawser was rattled about the interior from side to side, trying desperately to grab hold of something to stop himself falling back out through the open rear doors. His hand found some straps and fisted round them with the last of his strength. Back through the doors, through the mist, a huge rolling fireball was climbing slowly into the sky. A noise like every clap of thunder he had ever heard vibrated through the hot, hazed interior of the fleeing machine. The shuttle banked, throwing Hawser against one set of seats. A big tower flashed by the open rear doors, blocking out the fireball as the shuttle continued to turn. The rear doors seemed to try to close, then jammed. Hawser felt heavy and hot inside his suit as the heat from the bomb's flash seeped through from the surfaces which had been exposed to the initial fireball. His right leg hurt badly, somewhere below the knee. He could smell burning. As the shuttle steadied and its course straightened, Hawser got up and limped forward to the door set in the bulkhead, where the outlines of the seats and Lenny Pobre's slumped body, now spread-eagled near the rear doors, were burned in frozen shadows onto the off-white surface of the wall. He opened the door and went through. Mip was in the pilot's seat, hunched over the controls. The monitor screens were blank, but the view through the thick polarized glass of the shuttle's windscreen showed cloud, mist, some towers sliding underneath, and open sea beyond, covered with yet more cloud.
"Thought you were dead,"
Mip said, thickly, half turning toward Hawser. Mip looked wounded, crouched in his seat, hunchbacked, eyelids drooped. Sweat glistened on his dark brow. There was smoke in the flight deck, acrid and sweet at once. Hawser took his helmet off and fell into the other seat. He looked down at his right leg. A neat, black-rimmed hole about a centimetre across had been punched through the back of the suit calf, matched by a larger and more ragged hole on the side. He flexed the leg and winced. Just a muscle burn, already cauterized. He could see no blood. He looked at Mip.
"You all right?" he asked.
He already knew the answer. Mip shook his head.
"No," he said in a soft voice. "That lunatic hit me. Leg and my back somewhere."
Hawser looked at the back of Mip's suit, near where it rested against the seat. A hole in the bowl of the seat led to a long, dark scar on the suit's surface. Hawser looked down at the flight deck floor.
"Shit," he said. "This thing's full of holes."
The floor was pitted with craters. Two were directly under Mip's seat. One laser shot had caused that dark scar on the side of the suit. The other must have hit Mip's body.
"Feels like that bastard shot me right up the ass, Hawser," Mip said, trying to smile. "He did have a nuke, didn't he? That's when it went off, blew all the electrics away. Only the optic control's still working. Useless damn shuttle."
"Mip, let me take over," Hawser said. They were in cloud now. Only a vague, coppery light showed through the crystal screen ahead. Mip shook his head.
"Can't. You couldn't fly this thing with it in this shape."
"We've got to go back, Mip. The others might have..."
"Can't. They'll all be dead,"
Mip said, shaking his head and gripping the controls tighter, staring through the screen.
"God, this thing's dying."
He looked round the blank monitors, shaking his head slowly.
"I can feel it." "Shit,"
Hawser said, feeling helpless. "What about radiation?" he said suddenly. It was a truism that in any properly designed suit, if you survived the flash and blast, you'd survive the radiation, but Hauser wasn't sure that his was a properly designed suit. One of the many instruments it lacked was a radiation monitor, and that was a bad sign in itself. Mip looked at a small screen on the console.
Radiation.
He shook his head.
Nothing serious, he said. Low neutrons.
He grimaced with pain.
Pretty clean bomb. Probably not what that bastard wanted at all. He should take it back to the shop.
Mip gave a small, strangled, despairing laugh.